Book of Psalms tonight. If you want to be making your way to the book of Psalms, we'll be in chapter 133, Psalms 133, and we look forward once again as we've been in this little series on a healthy church, and we certainly want to be a healthy church by the determination of God and what God deems a healthy church from Scripture. And we have one life to live, one opportunity to use our life for Him. And as we serve together in His church, we want to do the best that we can, hopefully. And we look at a different aspect tonight. Before I read Psalms 133, I failed to mention, let me just remind you very briefly, the Christmas offering. If you're going to give to the Christmas offering, it goes to our Christian education. Let me encourage you to do that. And if you're going to be one of those benefactors, the weeks are coming down. We'll take it after January 1, certainly, but there's some things I know that we want to get paid off. And so as the Lord impresses upon you, you can give towards that. And if you're watching online, that includes you. And there's many that watch us online from all over the world. Our mailing address is 12046 Normandy Boulevard. And if you feel inclined to invest in Christian education, next week I'm going to have some crying children up here to try and get the cameras to zoom in on them so that those watching will realize that they can give too or go to the website. But as the Lord leads you, if you're a member of another church and you're watching tonight, make sure that you give to your church. Unless it's dead, then give to ours. And so Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Most of us are familiar with verse number 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But as I often remind us, even those well-known verses that have enough meat in them to stand on their own, it's important to read what's around it, because there's a fuller context. And tonight we're going to look at that, but at this idea of church health, I've entitled this the most overlooked mark of church health. Now you say, well, who says it's the most overlooked? I do. I'm the one teaching this series. So it's the most overlooked mark of church health. But I believe as we go through the Bible study tonight and the outline, I think if you're not convinced as well, you'll be close to being convinced that this is the most overlooked mark of church health. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you grateful for your word, grateful for your church, grateful for fellowship, grateful for your presence. And Father, I ask that you would use the service tonight, use the Bible to help us as a church so that we might be healthy, we might stay healthy, we might, if we're part of the church and we're not as healthy as we could be spiritually, we'll become a healthier Christian, a healthier part of this church, and we'll give you the glory for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Obviously, when we look at verse number 1, we get the main word there is unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, I've explained to us before, unity is not all of us thinking exactly alike, looking exactly alike, having the same exact emotions, coming from the same exact backgrounds, looking, thinking, being at the same place in our Christian life. That is not unity. God made all of us as individuals. All of us view things from our viewpoint. Makes sense, doesn't it? Our viewpoint is fashioned, is created by our life's experiences. Now, what we have to do is we have to take the Scripture and apply it to our life, but we are not all going to think alike. There are Christians in here who've been saved a year or less. There's some who've been saved 30, 40, 50 years. There's been more time to grow. So if it's all thinking the same, we all have to think the same. Well, if you're part of that church, you have to think exactly alike. No, you don't. It's not possible for us to think all alike. And in fact, if you find a place where everybody is thinking alike, there's a problem there. That's where the word cult comes from. That is misapplied when a church has unity. We're all going to be aligned with what God says. That word sometimes is lazily thrown out because we don't like what we're unified around. I mean, if you're unified around a political party, that's not a cult. But if you're unified around Jesus Christ, that is. Unity is not us all thinking alike. So if you're looking for a church where everybody thinks like me, there's not one. Well, I have to think exactly like everybody else. No, you don't have to. But where does the unity come in? Unity is being united around the same things. It's united with the same purpose. It doesn't matter what your opinion is on the Great Commission. Christ has commissioned the church to fulfill it. It doesn't matter if you think there should be a heavier emphasis on this in the church and less on this. The point is, what God has put together, we're to be unified around it. It's not a luxury in the church. It's a necessity. Sometimes like, well, if we're unified, that's a bonus. No, it's a must. And we go through this Bible study and get a grasp of unity, you're going to have an understanding maybe of why your pastor does some things he does and has done some things he has done, all for unity. I have never demanded anybody see it from my viewpoint. Never. You could ask all of the deacons. I've never asked the deacons to see it from my viewpoint. You can ask my staff. I've never asked the staff to see it from my viewpoint. You need to understand and be on page of my viewpoint. But I have asked and even demanded that if you're going to be in leadership, you're going to be unified around the direction we're going, the focus we're having. Well, I just can't do that. Well, you can't be a part of leadership. And if you can't be on board as a church, you're going to feel led eventually to go somewhere else. And by the way, people leave church all the time for unscriptural reasons. And you can go to another ministry and still leave church unscripturally. You can go to a church down the road. I'm not going to fight you or argue with, but you can still leave unscripturally. It's certainly unscriptural to stop going to church. Can we be unified around that? It's not a luxury, it's a necessity. See, a healthy church is a unified church. And we're going to see tonight that unity attracts the supernatural blessing of God. See, sometimes when we think of church health, a healthy church, we think of the preaching or the way it's growing, or is there doctrinal purity there? Is there answered prayers? Is there soul-winning evangelism? All of those things are part of a healthy church. They're essential. I'm not minimizing them. But Psalm 133 reveals a mark of health that is often ignored, and that is unity. The preaching is not as effective. How long did you pastor, Brother Gray? 33 years. And so if he can tell you that the preaching can be good and powerful, but yet if the church isn't unified, it's not going to be near as effective. Am I right? If we're split on things, the evangelism's not going to have the focus that it needs. See, without unity, preaching loses its power. Can I tell you, as your pastor, it weighs heavy on the pastor when he knows there's disunity at work. Because as you stand up here, you want to preach, and there's disunity at work, your mind is already going to where the potential for trouble is going to be. You know what God has led you to do. You know how God has instructed you and commanded you from Scripture. It weighs heavy during the preaching. When there's no unity, evangelism loses its effectiveness. Church services lose their sweetness. We'll have to sit over here because they're over there. Or I don't like the way this was handled, so I'm going to be over here and not over there. Discipleship, or as we grow, it loses its depth. Prayer loses its agreement. As we pray corporately as a church, there needs to be agreement when we do it. You think God likes His church to be without unity? See, unity is the soil in which all the other spiritual fruit grows. We got to have it. We have to have those other things, and we're going to major on those things. We're emphasizing there has to be pure doctrine. There has to be prayer. There has to be power. There has to be soul winning. There has to be the Great Commission. There has to be all of those things, and we have to be on the same page when it comes to that. I've reminded you often the book of Acts, in one accord, in one accord, in one accord. That's why God moved. And we have to be unified. You may say, well, I think it'd be more effective this way, but if we're still unified on the purpose, I'm not so naive. I used to hear Dr. House say it all the time, that he knows that there's so many people that attend his church that don't agree with what he's saying. I can't remember all the way he said it. They don't agree with what I'm saying, but they like the way I say it, was one of the things he said. At least somebody's saying what they believe. Well, they agreed with some, but not, but they were unified. I will submit, and there have been some who've joined this church and say, Pastor, I believe this differently than you. But if I join the church, nobody will ever know it. I can live with that. Because what they're saying is, I'm willing to submit to God's scriptural plan of the pastor and the church being unified. This is why I'm wary of somebody who comes in from the outside and they want to take their pet, if you will, and say, we've got to give some attention to this. I'll decide what we give attention to. Well, you think you're smarter than everybody? It's not that at all. I know I am, but it's not that at all. It's the fact that we have to be unified. There are some, and I'm certain that I don't always handle this right, is, Pastor, why don't we, have you ever thought about doing this or doing this? And sometimes it's great ideas and things that we probably should do, but I'm so focused on staying unified around the main things that I can't think about that right now. Because I have to keep unity around the main things. Let me give us number one of, where did I stop? Six. Number one, a healthy church pursues unity as a priority. Look back at verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Notice that first word. It begins with behold. What is God saying? He's saying, pay attention. Stop and notice this, is what he's saying. Hear what's about to be said. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See, unity is both good, it's right, and it's pleasant. It's emotionally refreshing. Good and how pleasant. It's good. It's the right thing to do. It's pleasant. It's refreshing. Isn't it refreshing to come to church and you're not fighting with everybody there? Isn't it refreshing coming to church without having some church member come over to you and say, oh, brother so-and-so did this and this? You say, why don't you have that here? Because I don't allow it to exist here. Because discord sowing is one of the seven things that God hates. So it's good and it's pleasant. When you come to church, that's why I'm careful. Sometimes like, Pastor, what about this and this and this? I'm like, no. Because when we come to church, it ought to just be, isn't that nice? Isn't that pleasant? There's unity on that. Disunity is draining. It's distracting. Oh, who's sister so-and-so mad at now? You know, these are going to go all over the place. This is why, besides the fact that I don't know where else our young people could go, this is why I advise all of our young people, when they go to Bible college, to go to North Florida Baptist College. You say, what about so-and-so? Well, if you give me a minute, I could talk to you about so-and-so and how our kids are not good fits there. But I want to keep it unity in our church. Well, what about this and that? I've researched. Well, congratulations. I am advising our church to stay unified around that which I think helps our church, prepares our church for the future. It's distracting, it's discouraging, it's detrimental. That's what disunity is. See, a healthy church must prioritize unity, not treat it as optional. This is why forgiveness is so important. This is why all of those things, those emotions that we have, that the Bible talks about, that we have to yield ourselves to. Well, Pastor, I don't feel this way. Spiritual discipline. We're not unified because we don't ever offend each other. We do it at church where some of you, if you're newer, is like, this church never has anybody that offends. Just hang around a little bit longer. They'll get around to you. Some offend without even knowing they're offending. Some offend and they're like, yep, I did a good job in that one. It's not that we never offend each other, but we have a mindset of I can easily forgive that. Why? Because souls dying and going to hell is a bigger focus than my feelings. Than some life getting put back together. Somebody, they finally got the courage to walk in the church doors. They don't need fighting in the foyer are arguing about, well, this method is better than this method. No, it doesn't matter. Our souls being saved. Is the Holy Spirit working? Is God moving? Then can't we be unified around that? Remember the statement, if Satan can divide us, he doesn't have to defeat us. He does more damage by dividing a church than defeating Christians. Because when the church is divided, we defeat ourselves. We lose power. We lose the blessings of God. That's why I am safeguarding doctrine. We're going to be unified around doctrine. Well, Pastor, in this book, I don't care. You know, the former actor, Kirk Cameron, came out and said that he doesn't believe there's hell. I don't care. I didn't care what he said before. I just asked him, where did you go to church? Oh, you're the church. That's just a whole other thing. Don't get me started on. But if he can divide us, he doesn't have to defeat us. That's why we are guarding for unity. That's why, and I've expressed it very boldly and very strongly to the men who work on this staff, and there's a trickle down. You're going to believe what I believe. You're going to be on board with what I do. If you don't, you better not let anybody know, because we're unified about what we're trying to do. Because if Satan can divide us, he doesn't have to defeat us. Again, you don't have to have every opinion I have. I'm sure there's other things you're wrong on too, but you don't have to have every opinion I have. I will never demand it. It'll never even be an issue with me. But the things we have to be unified on, we have to be unified on, because Satan wants to divide us. Number two, a healthy church understands unity comes from above. Now, I've said all of that, and it's not as easy as it sounds, because we are good at defending each other. Well, we're so unified. We have the perfect pastor. No, you don't. You don't even have the perfect pastor. There is no perfect pastor. we're imperfect people. So we're not unified around personality. We're not unified around pedigree. We're not unified around those things. But see, a healthy church understands unity comes from above. Pastor, those types of personality just drive me crazy. I understand that. And there's somebody in the church, too, that's thinking of your personality and thinking, their personality drives me crazy. So how can we all get along? How can we all be unified? How can we, when our feelings get hurt, how can we be quick to forgive? How can we put aside our pride? How can we put aside our priorities, put aside what we want for the greater good? How can we do that? God's got to be involved in it. Because if God's not involved in it, it's not going to happen. You can take two best friends. Some of you will relate to this. You can take family and put football in the middle of it, and they're going to kill each other. They're going to get offended. Well, it doesn't take much for us to get offended, does it? So we have to have, and the larger we grow, the more people God sends, the more different and diverse we're going to be. So what do we have to have? We got to have God. Notice verse 2. This is so good. It is like, what is it? It's when we're good, it's good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. See, unity begins with God, not man. It's pictured here as oil. That priest would be anointed with oil. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. That's a picture of God's anointing. That's God's anointing. That oil is precious. That oil is consecrated. That oil is supernatural. There's an anointing there. What is he teaching us? He's teaching us that as it was upon his head and ran down the beard and down to the garments. It starts at the top and then it flows downward. Unity is holy, it's sacred, it's God-given. It flows from leadership downward. When that picture of Aaron with being that high priest being anointed, it came from, that anointing came from heaven, and it started at the top of his head. It dripped off of his beard, down on his garments. It's a reminder that unity flows from the leadership downward. Well, I wish I was the pastor so I could set the course. I promise you, you don't. But the pastor doesn't even set the course. God sets the course. Well, what about all these ministries? God started them. Well, how do you know that? Well, when you don't sleep for a month and a half wrestling about it, and you finally say, okay, God, I'll do it, and then all of a sudden everything's okay, that's a good sign. He sets it, and then the pastor sets the course, and then it just goes downward. This is where God sent me and my family to serve. God knows what he's doing. He knew the direction. He knows what we're going to be unified around. We're going to be unified around the Lord Jesus Christ. All the doctrines that go with that, reaching people with the gospel, that's what we're unified around. That comes downward. The oil didn't go up to God. See, it spreads when the Spirit is free to work. See, you cannot manufacture unity with meetings. We can have 1,000 meetings, but if God's not in it, we're not going to be unified. You know, oh, some of you may not understand this, but I might as well say it. Sometimes when new people join the church, they say, Pastor, why don't we have monthly business meetings? And then I usually respond with, well, do you like the spirit of the church? Oh, yeah, it's great. I said, that's why I don't have them. Because if we spend $75.95 on this and somebody says, I think at this store it's $62.95, or this or that, there's some things that don't need to be voted on. Well, I just think there ought to be some oversight. No, what you're saying is, I want to have some control in the direction of the church. And so the unity starts from the top and goes down. Don't miss this. It's a work of the Spirit. I've had people say to me, Pastor, and you know, the other pastors, man, the Spirit of your... And I tell them, I said, you're having too many business meetings. I mean, did God set the direction of the church or did He not? Now, that doesn't mean we don't have oversight. Doesn't mean we don't take care of things the right way. But I don't even have to get further right now. But I'll say, you say, Pastor, well, I love the unity of their church, and I'm trying to help. There's a few pastors right now that they're having battles in their church. That doesn't just because we have a good spirit doesn't mean we've never had battles in the church. We've had them. But we're willing to have them so that we can have the unity that we have. This is what I say. This is the point I'm making with all that. I get no credit for it. It's a work of the Spirit of God. Because only He could make all of us be unified around what we're unified around. Because we all have opinions. See, if God is not at the top, unity will never flow through the body of Christ. See, here's the reality that we have to be reminded of. It's not your agenda in the church or with the church, but God's is laid out in Scripture. Well, I wish I had time, and I'll probably do another, but there's too many churches, even independent Baptist churches, that have handicapped themselves and limited themselves and I think have set their demise in course because they don't function this way. It's not what the Spirit, it's not the leadership down. We have to make sure that we're all on board with this. Do you realize how ridiculous it sounds for me to spend time in prayer with God about something? God set the course of a direction. I say, God, I don't know how we're going to do this. And then it's all the little things that go through my head. Well, did the children of Israel know how they were going to cross the Red Sea? Did David know how he was going to defeat Goliath? Did Daniel know he was going to make it through the night? Do it. Now, I remember very, very clearly some decisions that were made that God gave, basically impressed upon me an ultimatum. There's no way that I could go and get everybody's opinion on something to make that decision. First of all, they don't have all the facts. And I don't have enough life to sit down with everybody and say, this is what's an answer. But you know what should happen is, okay, here's leadership, and if it's a major thing, I'm going to bring leadership involved, and we're going to discuss it. But this is the direction, the course that is set. This is what I think we ought to do, and we ought to be unified around that. Because it's not our agenda. It's at the top. Number three. Is this making sense to anybody else but me? But churches run by, we need to be run by, have a bunch of committees so that we can all stay on the same page. That's never worked. Why in the world do we, I don't understand pastors. And I've grew up in a pastor's home. I am a pastor. I don't understand them. They get on Facebook and they criticize Congress and the government all day. And then they insist that their churches be run like Congress and the government. It makes no sense at all. Because it's not the way the Bible sets it up. So if it's healthy, it starts at the top and comes down. Number three, a healthy church understands unity must be protected. I love this. These hidden nuggets, they're not hidden, but when you see them, you're like, how did I not see that before? Look at verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. We notice the repetition of gone down, that went down. It emphasizes how easily unity flows where hearts are yielded. As the oil was poured on Aaron's head, it ran down his face and ran down his beard. There was nothing there to keep it from running. It continued to run down the garments because there was no hindrance. And when there's unity, that's the way the Spirit works. There's nothing to be an obstacle. There's nothing to stop the move of the Spirit. It just continues to flow. See, this is why we must protect unity. That unity can be broken by pride, by gossip, by jealousy, by bitterness, by hurt feelings, by personal agendas, by misunderstandings and unresolved conflict. Those things are more dangerous than the alcohol, the adultery, all those other things you want to put out there. I'm not advocating that, but the reason is this is dividing. And I've said this, and Christians sometimes have a hard time with it. Somebody who falls, the person who talks about it, does more damage than the person who fell. Well, that fall, they hurt the cause of Christ. You talking about it's hurting the cause of Christ greater. There's got to be unity around. Why? Because the Bible tells us how to handle it. Jealousy is a killer among Christians. It is not put where it needs to be put as a dangerous sin. It is as if I could get rid of alcohol or jealousy, I'd get rid of jealousy. I'd say jealousy has killed more people than alcohol has. Well, show me the scripture for that. How about Saul? What turned Saul? Jealousy. Envy. We cannot tolerate that. This is why I'm going to mention gossip, because if you're gossiping, I want you to feel very uncomfortable about gossiping. Well, I'm not coming back. Well, there goes a lot of our gossip. If that's what has to happen to get the gossip out of the church, then that's what has to happen. What would be better is if we mind our own business, got our heart right, kept our mouth shut, and worry more about us. Bitterness, hurt feelings. Boy, the personal agendas. Personal agenda will kill a church. It'll drive a wedge in unity. This is why we have to guard our hearts. And can I just say, I've delegated ministry. I'm delegating more and more ministry responsibility to more people. But I'm not giving it to them to change. I'm giving it to them to run like I want it run, the way I want it run. And if I walk in one day and say, I don't want that way anymore, they're going to change it. Say, well, what if they don't like that? They can go start their own church. They can go do their own thing. This is going to sound pride, boastful. It's not meant to be that way. I'm still waiting for some to show me how to do it. It's because we can't have personal agendas. Misunderstandings. Well, I know exactly. No, you don't. Sometimes we misunderstand. We have to give the benefit of the doubt. I have a little saying I like to use, a little thing that I allow to govern my feelings. Everybody gets a chance to be human. Meaning everybody can have a bad day. Everybody can get caught up in the emotion. Everybody can say something they don't really mean. There's misunderstandings. The most spiritually destructive members in a church are those who refuse to protect unity. That's why some of you look at me sideways when I say, you probably ought to drop these people off Facebook. and quit liking their post. Unfriend them. Block them. They've been my friend forever. I'm just talking about protecting the unity of the church. Man, I probably shouldn't say this, but I think we might need to hear it. If some people who left the church because of leadership had paid as much attention to what I said then as they do now to what I put on social media, they'd probably still be in this church and not have a problem with leadership. But they pay more attention now than they ever did. I mean, I guess I'm still pastoring them. They need to start keep sending their tithe here. But they didn't send it before, so. The most spiritually productive members are those who fight for unity. Now, I want some of you to listen very, very carefully to what I'm about to say. You may think you do not offer much because you do not contribute what some contribute. I can't do this. I don't have this position. I don't have this influence. But if you fight for and protect unity, you are contributing to the church in the greatest possible way. Let me say that again. You may think you do not offer much because you do not contribute what some contribute. But if you fight for and protect unity, you are contributing to the church in the greatest possible way. I feel bad. I can't give like others give. I don't have the talent others give. I don't serve, and maybe I should. But yet, if you're fighting for the unity of this church and protect the unity of this church, you're helping make it possible for all of that to take place. It has to be protective. So don't underestimate the importance of that. Well, if this is what Pastor believes we're supposed to do, and this is the direction we're going to go, then we're all going to be on board, right? Amen. I'm not saying that for you, but you're saying it to your family and to your friend group, and this is what we're doing. Well, I'm trying to help us. I don't know of any problems tonight. I think everybody is happy. Everybody is in love with Pastor. I don't know of any issues. This is the best time to preach this when there's no issues. But why is it in my almost four, however many years, experience has been? Well, I have a question about this direction. How come that's never directed to me? I'd be happy to answer it. And there have been times when I have had those questions like, I didn't think of that. But if it's not directed to me, then it's just going to do, it's going to affect the unity. Number four, I got to hurry. A healthy church cultivates unity through harmony and humility. Verse 3, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Hermon, the tallest mountain in Israel, is known for its refreshing dew. Dew represents renewal, refreshment, that quiet provision. It's life-giving moisture. See, that unity brings spiritual refreshment to a church. And I say some of the things I said, and again, not everybody has to like what I say, where I stand, what we do as a church. And I'm not saying people, and just as I referenced just a few moments ago, I'm not saying people necessarily are evil or they're irredeemable or any of that, but we're talking about the unity. And you got to be careful of people on the outside thinking they know what's going on the inside. I said this to a preacher friend in the past. It's like, every once in a while, I just get on the internet so I can find out what's going on in my church. Because apparently everybody else knows what's going on in my church, and I don't even know what's going on in my church. I said, Pastor, what's going on? That's the point. Nothing's going on. But it's about unity. And God has given you a pastor. You may, and let me just remind you, say, well, I don't know. You chose to be here. And when God brought you here, remember that peace you felt in your heart? I was the pastor then. Well, some of you have been here a long time. I wasn't the pastor then. But you stuck around. And because I'm still the pastor, isn't the reason to leave. Because God knew. There's got to be harmony. Because let me make this point. You have a pastor. Somebody else is not your pastor. Well, they used to work. They're not your pastor. Oh, like, listen to this podcast. Great, but they're not your pastor. There's got to be unity. Unity, how is it cultivated? It's listening more than talking. It's accepting and understanding more than accusing. It goes back to what I said a while ago. It's allowing people to be human. It's giving the benefit of the doubt. Don't we like to receive the benefit of the doubt? We ought to be as quick to give it as it is we want to receive it. And by the way, accusation, Genesis chapter number 3, you can go back to accusation. The first accusation came off the lips of the devil. Forgiving more than remembering. Preferring others over self. Yielding personal preference. It's sad when somebody leaves a church that has the right doctrine, the right emphasis, imperfect, but leaves over personal preference to go to a church that has watered-down doctrine and is not seeing people saved. But they align with their personal preference. Serving without applause is how unity is cultivated. Reconciling quickly. Choosing peace over pride. See, unity thrives where humility lives. I'll just give you number 5 and number 6 very quickly. A healthy church attracts the blessings of God. Look at verse 3 again. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. He didn't say suggested the blessing. Hope there be a blessing. He commanded the blessing. Where there is unity, God commands blessing. God commands growth. And it just has popped in my mind. If you know me, you know this to be true. I am very gracious to people who don't believe like I believe. I'm very gracious to those who don't have the same standards I have. I'm very gracious to those who even live in a way that I think is contrary to Scripture. I will give grace and grace, and I'll tell the truth. I'll preach the truth. I'm not changing what I believe. I'm not changing where I stand. Well, what about, but when you mess with the unity, you're going to find a different pastor. You're going to find that this is helping some of you. Well, I don't understand why Pastor doesn't have a problem with this or this or this or this or this and this person. Well, I may not agree with it, but they're growing. They're not disrupting the unity. Matter of fact, most of the people who have a problem with the unity want to correct. That's where the line is with me. I will give grace and grace and grace, and I think that's what the Bible teaches. As the pastor, I'm never going to demand to be, well, do I have to do all this to be? No, you just have to be saved and baptized and say, I want to go the same way the church is going. You may never come to the same point as me on many things. And I will preach the truth. If I feel like you're going to destroy yourself, I will say something about it. But I'm very gracious and very lenient. But the moment the unity is threatened, I'm not patient with that. It's a different emphasis. It's a different line because of what unity leads to. It leads to souls being saved. God commands growth when there's unity. He commands joy. He commands peace. He commands strength. He commands revival. If unity is broken, blessing is withheld. And it needs to be illustrated. In times past, we've had some who were prominent in church who disrupted the unity. It's not a coincidence that the church started growing like that as soon as the unity got resolved. It's not a coincidence. You say, are you trying to just beat them up? No, I'm just making the point that when God's people are unified, well, what if I'm not on the same page? Get on the same page. I'm not going to demand you to change your sports team, change your political affiliation, like tacos as much as I do, give up stuffing for dressing, you know, eat pumpkin pie instead of sweet potato pie. I mean, if you want to live in misery, go right ahead. I'm not going to demand you do that. But when it comes to unity, you say, well, Pastor, I don't want to get out there and go soul winning with everybody. Well, don't hinder anybody else from doing it. Well, I know I'm not. Well, don't hinder anybody else from doing it. And then, because God will bless if we're unified. I'll skip some of the applications. For example, a church united in prayer sees answers. A church united in soul winning sees souls saved. A church united in giving sees needs met. Let me just say something about giving. This is a very giving church. Very giving church. But not everybody's giving. And usually when I say something about giving, the ones that are already faithfully and generously and sacrificially giving feel guilty and they, well, Pastor wants us to give more. No, if God impresses upon you to do, just do whatever God tells you to do. But I'm saying this for the benefit of everybody. If you're part of this church and you're not giving, let's be unified. We'll get more done now we're a high percentage. But we'll get more done if everybody is giving something. So if everybody gets on board, there's more that's going to take place that's being part of Unified. There's organizations that won't let you come back if you don't pay your dues. I mean, so if let's get on this. If you're not giving as you should, well, pastors, no. That's the Holy Spirit tapping on your heart, not me. All I'm saying is, let's all be. That's why sometimes I say, just give something. If you can't give a lot, give something. The widow with two mites, God recognized that. That's all she had. Number six, a healthy church becomes a place of life. Look at verse 3 again. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. And when that happens, even life forevermore. Unity produces life, not death. Let me give you some signs of life in a healthy, unified church. See if you recognize any of these. New believers, spiritual growth, joyful fellowship, encouraging services. Well, maybe not tonight, but encouraging services, energized ministry. There's something happening. There's a buzz or something. It's revealed in thriving youth ministries, when families are strong, there's a revival atmosphere. See, where unity reigns, life abounds. Where division reigns, death spreads. This is why it's important for all of us to keep ourselves right. Because you can be unified today, and if you don't keep your heart right, you can be the one causing disharmony and disunity tomorrow. It's our responsibility. See, healthy churches are unified churches. Healthy churches are blessed churches. It's the mindset, this is what God has for us to do. I'm not being held hostage by a little group of people. I'm not being held hostage by somebody who, well, I just don't agree with that. If this is where the church is going, this is where the God is leaning. Now, if it goes against Scripture, that's a whole other thing. Maybe I'll use this as an example. What night is tonight? It's Thursday. Have we ever had midweek service on a different night? For a long time, it was Wednesday night. And when I first announced Thursday night, you could see, are we in the tribulation? It's 24 hours, people, 24 hours. Which, by the way, I love the change. It's working great for us. But it's like, well, people, it's not in the Bible. Now, you're all here, and I was prepared for our crowd to dip a little, but our midweek service crowd is strong. And it's, you know what some of you said? Say, I don't know, but guess where you were on that first Thursday night? You were there. You know why? Because it's your church. You're part of the church. You're on board with the church. If you might would say, if I'm the pastor, I wouldn't have it on Thursday night. And that's fair. But if the church is going to go forward, and this is where I feel like we ought to be, we can. This it's one night. I can do that. It's like, oh, you know, Christmas is coming up, and pastor's moving the service to Tuesday night. He's just keeping us confused. But is it really a big deal which weeknight we have church on? No. We got to be a unified church. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I would prefer to just bring messages on the love of God. I'd prefer to just get in my rhythm and my routine of writing, studying, administrating, helping, counseling. But every once in a while, the devil tries to weave disunity. There are things that I will never fight you over. There are things that I will never make a big deal about. But I've made up my mind by the grace of God, I'm not going to pastor a disunified church. Now, sometimes you have to fight to keep that unity. See, why do you say this? Because some of you are going to have to fight to keep it in your home. So, well, you know, have this drama. Keep the drama out of the church. Let me help you. If you're having family drama, don't bring it in here. Because if you bring it in here, I'll deal with it from up here. Because we have to be unified. That does not mean I don't care. It does not mean I won't help. But we have to be unified on it. If a civil war starts tomorrow, another civil war between pumpkin pie and sweet potato pie, you know where I stand. I still love you. I'll still help you. I'll still pastor you. I'll fight for unity. This is why I didn't get on a big bandwagon with the I have my opinions on the 2020 election, all these different things. This is why during the primary season, especially 2016, when I was told by the brethren, you better get on board with this certain candidate, which I was right. They were wrong, by the way. In a church our size, everybody has a different person or a different ideology. Are we not? We're bringing disunity into our church. Because when we're here, it's all about Christ. It's not about, well, that football team, they cheated to win. Well, if you're gonna have a bad spirit about that, then just become a Georgia Bulldog fan. You don't have to cheat to win. If you're going to have a bad spirit about it, you need to deal with that. Don't bring it in here. Because we have to guard our unity. How good and how pleasant. Aren't you thankful to be part of a church that's unified? We're not perfect. We don't all have the same opinions about things. And aren't you glad you don't have to think just like I think? But when it comes to this book and it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be unified. There's some here, you've been saved less than a year. It's about Jesus. Some of you have been saved longer than I've been alive. It's about Jesus. We can be unified about that. It's about souls being saved. You would support more missionaries from Africa than I am. I won't argue with you about that. Are you would support this and not this? I'm not going to argue with you over that. But we're going to do what we can do and able to do and move forward in that way, and we just have to all be unified in it. We don't have to be, and I know I'm rambling. I closed my Bible to set you up and tease you. There are some things that it's clear right and wrong. I'm not dismissing that. But if you notice in our country, it's either I'm right and you're wrong, depending on your viewpoint. You know, there are people who burn down cities, they think they're right. So we need unity in our country. And when the left says that and the right says that, this is what they both mean. If the other side would start thinking exactly like we think, then we'll have unity. That ain't never going to happen. Because I've talked to you about this, and it's in several of my books. I don't agree with conservatives on many things. And conservatives have proven since the last election that if you don't line up exactly with them, you might as well be on the far left. This is free. This is bonus. I had an extra cup of coffee. I'm good to go. Who wants to go another hour? Hey, let's stay healthy. Let's stay healthy. You may not understand every decision. You may not understand every message. Extend some grace to your pastor when he says something that doesn't, you know, I don't always say it exactly as clear as I want to say it. But I have the best interest of this church in mind. And I promise you this, I'll give you that same benefit. I'll extend to you that same grace. Let's extend it to one another. If you need to forgive somebody tonight, forgive. Well, I don't want to. I didn't ask you if you wanted to. They don't deserve it. I didn't ask you if they deserved it. Do it because it's the right thing to do, because it pleases the Lord, and it keeps unity in the church. It keeps unity. Well, I need to go set them straight. Well, think about that before you do. We need unity. We don't have to think alike, look alike, talk alike. We all want to be unified around this book. My mind keeps going. Everybody okay? You can stand while I talk. Again, I'm setting you up again thinking you're leaving. You're not. You ever heard of the 12 disciples? How different were they? Peter, about as rough as they come. Matthew, I mean, Thomas, they were all different. Well, how in the world did they get along? They were all unified. They were from different parts, different towns, different backgrounds. But they put aside all of the things that needed to be put aside because they were unified. They said, we're following him. And when Jesus probably said, here, pass out these baskets, there was one that was said, well, I would do it this way. But they still passed them out. Why? Because the master, we're following him. And when you find any bickering between the disciples, it's when they stopped making it about him and made it about themselves. I'll sit at the right hand. I'll sit at the left hand. It became about them. That's how we all, with all these different backgrounds, all these different mindsets, all these different beliefs of way things ought to be, if we're unified around the master, it's amazing. I use this all the time. We are close as a church. Some people don't understand our church because we're close. We are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you really look at your friendships in here, the only thing that would have brought you together in that friendship relationship is Jesus. Because your political affiliations wouldn't have, your sports affiliations, your background, where you came from, all those things would have been polarizing. But if it's around Jesus, oh, we can have a good spirit. That blessing is commanded. Let's stay blessed. Brother Montgomery.